How many of you guys read every night? You don't have to read. Wow. And by now you read, right? And you memorized all 25 verses by now, right? Okay, some of you guys know this, and I asked these two ladies who were not here before. I asked these people to read Jude every day until we started. That was 4 weeks ago. So this book of Jude, you can read the whole thing in a matter of 5 to 7 minutes, easily, 25 verses. Somehow we say it's a very short book, and so there's not much to it, and it's not so. Book of Jude is probably one of the most impactful book, in my opinion, right next to the James. Apostle Paul was one of the main characters in the book of Acts. Book of Acts is known as Acts of what? Apostles. Book of Jude can be, some people call it Book of Apostate. What is apostate? It is apostate can be found in many, or the plural with S, can be found from the Bible. Let's go to the 2 Thessalonians. Stick your finger right in the book of Jude because we're going to come back. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will come, they will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed. Man of sin is most likely Antichrist. And son of perdition. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy, which is right after 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrine of demons. Let's go to Hebrews, a few more books, right before James. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hi, Carl. Beware, brethren, lest there will be any of you an evil heart, unbelief in departing from living God. Hebrews 3:12. Okay, let's read them one more time. Beware, brethren, lest there will be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So far we are reading consistently somebody leaving faith. Let's go one more verse. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter is close to the book of Jude, right before 1 John. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Excuse me. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, be aware that lest you also fall in from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of wicked. Alright, does it mean we can lose salvation? Does it mean we cannot lose salvation? Let's visit that thing one briefly before we go into a little more detail. This, as I said this before, security of salvation has been a tools of demons. Okay? This question is not from God. Let me make it very clear to you. Eternal security of salvation is not from God. It's from hell. Why? This book, the Bible we have on our land, is to show how close we can get to Christ. You hear me? to show the way to get close to God. It does not show how to stay away from God, how far we can go away. Let me put it this way. Can I ask my wife, I go to work, and if I go hanky-panky with some other woman other than my wife, and can I still be married to her? She would have decked me, and I deserve it. Would you agree? So, what makes we do think for us to think that it will be different? The relationship we have is we are the bride, and Christ is the bridegroom. Our relationship should be clear and pure and holy. If there is a relationship between husband and wife, and one thing is asking God, honey, how far can I push myself away from you and still keep the marriage going? That's a stupid question to ask. They deserve a cold punch on their nose. Asking God, how far can I stay away from you, or asking one another, how far I can stay from God and still in God's mercy, you know what? That's a dumb question to ask. Why do we want to know? If we stay close to Jesus, we don't have to know whether we're going to fall or not. So if anyone tried to ask you about that, say, you know what, that is the dumbest question you will ever ask to another Christian. Issue is how close we can stay with Christ. And I hope that you guys clearly understand, don't ask that question. Because if you choose one side, I can choose another, we can argue all night and flip the other way around. 400 years, this has been a tool of Satan to divide the body of Christ. Let's not try to find out whether we can lose salvation or not. Let's stay close to God, then we don't have to know about it. Apostate, and I'll just read the definition for you, to you. People with act of departing from one's faith, abandonment of belief in basic doctrine of Christianity. Let me read it again. The people with act of departing from one's faith, abandonment of belief in basic doctrine of Christianity. Okay? This is what we call apostate. In other words, to make a long story short in one word, backsliding, major backsliding, okay? At that time, during this time, when the book of Jude is written, this kind of believer is known as Gnostic. Gnostics. In fancy word, somehow they think their body is separate from the spirit. Okay, well, you got saved, cool. But your body is not really connected, so your body can do whatever you want to do. Really? According to my Bible, according to your Bible, spirit leaves the body, guess what happened? You're dead. I'm dead. So body and the spirit, they are coexisting. If one leaves another, the other one is gone. Excuse me. So, Gnostic says that Christian authority, do whatever you like to do, live however you want to feel like to live. There's no absolute moral. In other words, at the time, it's one of those fancy words that you'll never see it again. Did I spell it right? Yeah. No, I didn't write it. Right. You know, it sounds like a Greek, isn't it? It is Greek. Antinomianism. Yeah, there's N. ATINOIANISM. Big deal. Or hedonism. HEDOISM. With what does he mean? It's the same thing as a rebellious attitude, obnoxious attitude that we have. This is something, some of you guys heard the pastor's conference from Tucson tape and CD. And Pastor Don McClure, who used to be the pastor of the Calvary Chapel of San Jose, which is outskirts of San Francisco. I almost gagged and it made me sick to my stomach. And just side of story, a mayor of the San Francisco, he's over 60 years old. He's married. He's not divorced. But he had an adultery relationship with his one of his employees, a very young employee. And she's pregnant. She delivered a child, and he held the child in the hospital and so proud of himself. He think that he feel like he's a young man again. There's no shame. And as a matter of fact, he was a grand marshal of the gay and lesbians, this march or whatever they call it. And they just died on bike. And the lesbians riding a bike, half naked or pretty much all naked. And there's no police officer would stop that because majority, a lot of police officers are gays and lesbians. And they follow by floats. And you can, it's been televised, and they did it just about anything they can possibly, you can possibly imagine, and they did it on the float, broad daylight. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, said, "If God does not destroy America, he owes apology to Sodom and Gomorrah." That is true. I don't think we realize what kinds of pathetic situation we are in. Hear me very well, clearly. Greece, Rome, flourishing culture, flourishing country, they all had one thing in common when they perished. You know what that was? Homosexuality. It was to the point almost they had to be destroyed. Nowadays, if you say anything against the homosexuality, it's a bigotry. It's wrong. During the administration of Clinton, you guys know the southern side of the country, the Black People's Church has been burned. Remember that? They burned the left and right. And Clinton formed a task force to help to rebuild those churches and at the same time to track down those criminals who burned arson people. However, there is one Black church inside of San Francisco claimed that homosexuality is an abomination in God's sight, and that church was burned down. Not one person did anything for that church. Because homosexual people burned that church down. Is God hating homosexual people? No. He hates the activities. The sin itself. He loves those people. They need Christ just like we need Christ. Am I against homosexual people? No. Absolutely not. On the record, if I know somebody who has homosexual and he has AIDS and I know it and he's dying right this minute and he needs CPR, I will do it. But I despise the sin he's carrying, just like I despise my own sin. Apostate is encouraging the ones we knew the knowledge we had, the salvation knowledge we have, and leaving it. That state is worse than not knowing it. Some people think that, well, God will forgive. Yes, God forgives, as long as we come to Him, repent, and turn away from it. In 1521, King Henry VIII helped to produce a tract called Assertion of the Seven Sacraments, which is going against Martin Luther, a German monk, and who went against the Catholic Church. All the, you know, hypocrisy that the Catholic Church in selling indulgence, all of that stuff. So he went again, because Martin Luther that went against it, and Henry VIII tried to help Catholic Church. So the Pope, Leo X, declared that Henry VIII is the defender of faith. However, that defender of faith decided he wants to leave his current wife, divorce her, and marry the mistress. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, there is a problem between Henry VIII and the Pope Leo X, between England king and the Roman Catholic Church. So Roman Catholic tried to take that defender of faith title away from King Henry VIII, and Parliament of England decided to give him and all of his successors the name of defender of faith. So now the Queen of the England still has a name, defender of faith. That has nothing to do with the true. True defender of faith would be Jude, the writer of the book of Jude. Why am I saying that? We will go to the verse 1 of the book of Jude. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. Open our heart, open our mind and spirit to receive your way. It is not our wisdom for us to understand your word, but you have to open our heart to receive. Guide us. Help us understand your way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to verse 3. Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it is necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which once for all delivered to the saints. So he was going to write on about what? Salvation. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit prompted him to write something else about contending for faith. All right. Backslider or apostate despise this book of Jude. Why? Because it doesn't hold any punch. It declares that apostate will go to hell. All right, let's back off about eternal security. Let's say here's a group of Calvinism. Here's a group of Arminianism. Calvinism believe that once you are saved, you are permanently saved. And those who backslidden have never been saved. You hear me? That's what they believe. Arminianism is once you are saved, great, but you start to sin against God, you will lose your salvation. So you can go back and forth like a yo-yo. We don't agree with either one. We kind of stay in the middle. You can call it Calvinism. That's where we're standing. Calvary Chapel stay right in the middle. Because we believe sovereignty of God and responsibility of man. No one can snatch us away from the love of God. Clearly stated in the Bible. Same time, we have a free will. So it's up to you to think however you want to think. Again, I'm not going to argue with you. Backsliders do not like this one. The backslider, if you ask Calvinism people, backsliders never been saved, so they will go to hell. Okay, think about it. And Arminianism was a backslider, lost their salvation, they will go to hell. So either way, apostate will go to hell. You agree with me? We agree with both ends conclusion. So if you walk away from that, whether you believe in the Calvinism style or Arminianism style, you will go to hell. It's clear and simple. That's why the apostate or the backsliders do not like Book of Jude, because it clearly mentions it. So who wrote a Book of Jude? Okay. Some of you guys don't know that his first name is Hay. And remember how we studied the book, how to do the inductive Bible study? First one is what? What do we do? Inductive Bible study method, what's the first step? First step, pray. Second step, read. List how many times? Three times. And third step, observation or outlining. Using what?
The five W's.
Very good. Five W's, one H. And next, fourth step is interpretation. And fifth step, application. How to apply. What can get out of this thing? All right. So we prayed and we read more than three times, I assume. So now it start to do some observation and outlining. Who wrote it? Book of Jude? Jude wrote it. When?
Between 60 and 65 AD.
Very good. She cheated in the commentary. That's good. Where? Most likely Jerusalem. Because who is this Jude guy? His name should be Judas. And there's six Judas mentioned in the New Testament. One, we know well, the one who betrayed Jesus. But a lot of Bible students and a lot of Bible scholars agree that this Jude or Judas, the reason why we call it Judas is that we want to distinguish him from the Judas Iscariot. So we call him Jude. He most likely he is the brother of James and half-brother of who? Jesus. How do we know? Verse 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. So we pretty much know that this is not the James who martyred as a second person. First one is Stephen died in the book of Acts, and this is not the disciple of James, but is James, half-brother of Jesus Christ. So in other words, Jude is half-brother of Jesus Christ. All right. Then what did he write about? In verse 3, we find contend for faith. And why did he write? To defend in genuine faith from the false teaching. How did he write? He was putting the discern letter in a concise and very rugged and picturesque. We will find how he talked about Moses, he talked about Korah, he talked about Balaam. All these people are examples. And he firing at the rapid fire fashion, and then he talk about everything and conviction and faith. So we can outline this, and from verse 1 to 4, he talks about greeting and propose, and then pretty much appealing. Verse 5 through 16, he talks about exposing the false teachers and revealing this false teaching. Verse 17 through 23, he talks about warning and the command to the Christian and reminding what we're supposed to do. And then verse 24 and 25, which is a very famous doxology Bonnie just asked before the study, and it means praise. Remember the song, Praise God from to whom all blessings flow? Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's the same meaning. It's just simple praise. That's the benediction and praising. So let's go into the interpretation. Now, there, you will notice that, that this book of Jude has a lot of similarity with the second Peter. They are not sure which one is written first, but then a lot of people, a lot of Bible students believe that Jude is written first before the second Peter. I wouldn't know the difference. In English, we cannot tell the much difference. All right, Jude 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who are called, underline called. That's number one. Number two, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. Let's go back there. Those who are called by who? Holy Spirit. Number two, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Here we find all three life, the method of, no, style of life we should live on. We find predestination, called, sanctification, being sanctified by the Father, and preserved as clean and holy and righteous by, in Christ Jesus. That means glorification. It's a kind of fancy word, but it's better to repeat it. You all right? Don't die on me. Too busy for the funeral. All right. Predestination and sanctification. And yeah. That's one. No, it's all right. Glorification. This is one of those fancy words we need to understand. Predestination. This is another battlefield among Christians. Are we predestined? Yes. That means I don't have to go out. If everybody is predestined, that means I don't have to go out and evangelize. No. We need to, because we don't know who that person is. Let me put it this way. I know this is kind of going sideways. Remember Esther and Mordecai, her uncle? She was Jew, and there's a bad guy, really bad guy. He wears a black coat and he wears black sunglasses in the middle of the night. He's a bad dude. He's tried to kill all the Jews. And Mordecai finds out what's going on. And so Mordecai asks Esther, Queen Esther, you need to talk to kings to stop this craziness. And Queen Esther said, I cannot go in. If I go into the throne room without his king's permission, I'll be dead. And Uncle Mordecai said, even if you choose to pass this opportunity, God will use somebody to get work done. But who knows, you might be born for this purpose. Let's say I'm not born-again Christian. Carl is a born-again Christian. And let's say, because he believed predestination, no matter what, if I choose to be chosen, I'll be born again. Even if nobody evangelized, nobody tell me how to be born again. So he chooses not to do it. Guess what? He is missing wonderful opportunity to sharing the Christ with me if he chooses not to. You hear me? Yes, I will be born again if I'm called. But he's missing because somebody else will come around and talk to me about it. You follow me? Predestination is a sovereign knowledge of God. It will happen no matter what, but we will be the one who will be privileged to be part of it. It's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with the sovereignty of God. Anybody not understanding? It's okay to me. This is a very important aspect. Sanctification. This is, we can say, past sentence. Has to be done before the creation of the universe is God already by the sovereignty of God. Sanctification is not just, this is the say, have been saved. This is being saved and then will be saved. Same thing. Being saved, what do I mean? I need to be cleansed by God's grace, mercy of God, by the Lord of Jesus Christ, going through each time when I sin against God. So, do I sin against God today? You can bet on the idea that sometimes I can't even count. Any of you didn't sin today? I need to talk to you. I need to know how you did it. And if you haven't sinned against God today, you're a liar or you're so such a good angel, I need to know the secret. Oh, yeah, there we go. That's another aspect of the dead. So sanctification is being saved, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Each time when we come to Him and ask forgiveness, we are being sanctified, meaning being cleansed, and being set apart from unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unholiness. You guys follow me? Is it too deep here? No. We have to understand. Justification, it's the same thing here. This is very much connected. Justification. Are we righteous enough to go to God without Jesus? Are we good enough to go to God without Jesus? Are we holy enough to go to God by our own power? No. But we are justified through the Lord of Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are justified. In other words, we are not innocent. In the court of law, we can say, and you guys watch the people's court or Judge Judy, that kind of thing. They say, not guilty, Your Honor. They don't say, I'm innocent. They say, either guilty or not guilty. We are declared as not guilty. We are justified by the blood of Christ. Follow me? Yes? No? Yes? No? Okay. Glorification will be saved. This has not happened yet. It will be happen when we get to heaven. We will no longer this nobody or fake body, a finite body, but will infinite, eternal, holy and righteous. Molecularism will be completely changed. We'll walk through the wall just like Jesus did. That will be the day, huh? I'll go through the wall just for fun of it. So this... Huh? What?
I know people try it now, but they will.
My little light switch. I did it more than one time. When I was in college, I got drunk. And just for the sake of getting drunk. Stupid thing to do, wasting money. And I noticed the electric pole just jump in front of me and running me. And I didn't go through that thing. Anyway, this is a very important aspect. We just find out those who are called and sanctified by God and preserved in Christ Jesus. See how He can just put everything in one line? If you this is good, you got to see the rest of them. This guy is so good. All right. This is not an evangelist track. This is looking to the Christians, not no other people. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans is right after Book of Acts and before 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Excuse me. Kind of repeating what we just learned here. 29 of chapter 8. For whom He foreknew, that sovereignty of God, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, here is, He also called, whom He called, this He is also justified, whom justified, whom He also glorified. This is so rich. Do you guys get that? It's like I do. I hope. All right, go back to the book of Jude, verse 2. Some of you are wondering, how long is this 25 verses? About 8 weeks. Don't feel bad. All right, let's go back to verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. What a good way to say it, to blessing people. All right. Any questions? Let's stop here for today. And we are not going to go into application because there's too many things to talk about in the world, so we're not going to put the application. Any questions about this special video? Any questions? Yeah.